Welcome back to Full Circle Reviews. This episode will be reviewing Lake Mungo, a 2008 thriller horror movie. This was a Luke pick.
It was.
And so our cast here today is me, Kristen, joined by Luke.
That's me.
And Justin.
Sup.
And this was a first time viewing for Justin and Kristen. It was a pick by Luke. Because it was Luke's pick, Luke, will you give us a synopsis of this flick?
Sure. It is a found footage subgenre, kind of like our Savage Land. It's kind of a mockumentary with a slight kind of a supernatural nature. It's basically a documentary of a girl named Alice who drowned while with her family. And the supernatural occurrences that occur afterwards and the investigation into her life as to why this happened and what the meaning might possibly be.
That was a great synopsis.
Thank you. I feel better about myself.
He sounds rehearsed.
Is that a bad thing?
No.
From the King of Wing It?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
All right.
It rhymed too, kind of. The King of Wing It.
So this was a movie that was an Australian film. It came out for the festival.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no actors or actresses in this that were recognizable to me. I don't know. Justin, did you recognize anybody?
No, just garbage. A lot of trash.
Luke, did you recognize anybody from any other movies?
No, I did not.
Okay. All right. So as a first time viewer, Justin, would you like to give us your initial reaction?
Yeah, I didn't like it. I fell asleep two different times during the movie.
So, yeah, you can really rely on his review here.
Yeah, you can. It's when they call it a sleeper. I'm going to call this a sleeper, but not for a good reason. This one will put you to sleep.
All right, Kristen, what did you think?
Wait, I'm not done. It's still my turn.
All right.
I couldn't connect to it from like the first 12 seconds. I knew it was a mockumentary, which is kind of not what you want from a mockumentary.
What do you want from a mockumentary?
Something like Savage Land.
Okay, fair enough.
All right,
That was a Luke pick,
fair
too.
Fair enough.
That was a good one. Mm. That was a good Luke pick.
Thank you.
Lake Mungo. I don't know about the name. It's pretty lame. I'd probably call it Lake Dungo because it fucking stinks.
I'm not even going to smile at that.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to start to refer to Luke as a dung beetle because he pushed this shit on us.
Okay, well,
this movie is literal shit.
In my defense, This was a last resort kind of thing based on the night we were having.
True, but you should have something better in your back pocket than Lake Dungo.
Okay, Kristen, what did you think?
We know that here in the States, we have lost all originality. So what we do is find other stories from other countries and we duplicate them to make money here and all over the world. There's a reason this has not been duplicated. It was garbage.
Okay.
It's garbage.
You loved Savage Land and it hasn't been duplicated.
I know.
But that was
American. This is not up there with Savage Land.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I get it. I get it. You didn't like it.
I didn't like it.
You get your revenge on all your shitty picks.
Yeah. Okay. I just think you're better than this, Luke.
I know I am.
You are.
Okay.
As are you. Okay.
Right. Is it my turn?
Yes.
Yeah. Do I get a turn?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kristen, how do you feel about the movie? Initial reaction as a first-time viewer.
It's not my favorite.
Okay. Mm.
But I have positive and negative things to say.
And that's what happens when you stay awake. You see the good and the bad in things.
You know what was positive for me?
How about we let Kristen talk?
The ending.
I think you were sawing logs during the ending, but go ahead.
Yeah, it was more fun.
So what I liked about the movie is the talking points and discussions that Luke and I had about the movie
after
post-viewing.
Yeah. You're 2 seconds from your mic being shut off.
More so than the movie itself. I felt the movie lacked in some areas. I thought the concept was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that the acting was not great. It is my turn.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Moo.
I am not a huge fan of open-ended things, and Luke and Justin both know this. I like when things kind of get wrapped up and packaged nicely in a box and they tell me what they want me to get out of it.
Yeah. You don't want to be challenged. You just want things handed to you.
Wow. Fuck
Whoa.
You. Wow. Wow, are we gonna shots fired?
I'm playing defense here. You guys are ganging up on me.
I'm not attacking you.
Okay, Apollo, back me up here.
Apollo.
Okay, I am not attacking you. I am not even pointing fingers at your pick.
He thought you just attacked her.
No, I'm playing with her. I'm pissed at you, but she's all right.
Gee, thanks. So I thought that the movie had potential and it fell short in some areas. It was not one that I would choose to watch again. No. Just because I thought it fell short.
Fair enough.
But I did really get interested and vibe out in the conversations that you and I had because of the movie.
Right.
Okay. So that's my reaction.
I'm content. I feel better.
So, Luke, this was your pick. Can you tell us
why you picked this movie?
How about we let it finish? Damn it.
Tell us why you picked it, who the target audience is, and how you heard of it.
Well, I was very aware going into this that it wouldn't be an A movie for either of you.
Yeah.
I did expect that Justin would at least give me the respect to stay awake during it.
But, I tried.
I picked it again because I'm a sucker for this genre. And I personally think the acting was okay, like believable.
Hold on. It's his turn.
Didn't say anything.
He's on the cusp of interrupting and it's just distracting. The acting's okay. I like the story. I think it has supernatural undertones, but it's not like primarily supernatural because we never see what was really going on.
Right. I wouldn't say it's primarily supernatural. I think it's more religion, faith-based than extraterrestrial.
Hmm. Yeah.
We'll get into that.
I'll let you tell me about that stuff again. Cause apparently that's all I do is pick those kind of,
it is a theme.
Well, I'm interested.
Which is okay.
No, I think it's interesting cause I'd never seen it that way before.
You should have.
And Luke, how did you hear of this movie?
I looked on a list of like some lesser known mockumentary found footage movies and it was like in the top 10.
Okay.
Yeah, it just the plot synopsis that was given, just a one or two paragraphs, kind of intrigued me. Mm-hmm. And I heard that through some of the reviews that it wasn't like scary, but it was just kind of like a little haunting.
Yeah, it was creepy.
Yeah,
I'll give you that.
So that's kind of how I heard it. That's how it piqued my interest. I've seen it a few times. And it's no masterpiece by any means, but it's right up my alley though.
Right. Okay. And who do you think the target audience is?
People like me that.
Found footage junkies.
Like this kind of stuff, yeah.
Okay. All right. So I would even, mockumentary, yes, I would give you that. Like a fake documentary format, 100%. Horror, thriller, okay. It has aspects.
Mm-hmm.
Could be.
Yes.
Either one. I wouldn't say it was scary as much as it might be more psychologically haunting.
Sure.
I think that the premise had a good foundation. I think that they could have done more with it.
Sure. I would agree.
Okay.
There were some missed opportunities.
I think so. And I feel that
everything after the premise was a missed opportunity.
I feel that. See, look, this is like 100% the flip side. You guys have flipped scripts here.
He looks like he's going to cry.
It's hard to argue the movie is found footage. There's an element. I wouldn't call it a found footage movie as much as it is there's a very small piece of the movie that is found footage.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Very much. Very small, but very integral.
I know. And I wish they didn't find it.
Justin, we get it. You didn't like it. Okay. Now, can the adults talk?
We're trying.
All right.
We keep getting interrupted.
So, do we want to just dive right into plot or how would you like to approach this one, Luke? It's going to be mostly a you and me conversation.
Let's do plot. I'd like to hear your thoughts on the plot.
Okay. So I thought it was an interesting talking point that the mother who was
June.
Never ID'd her daughter's body. She chose not to. So if we take it back a step.
She really needed to zen.
Alice had drowned. They're all at kind of a river.
I think it was something like that. The swimming area. Brother and sister were like a reservoir. Swimming. The brother gets out of the water, realizes sister isn't with him.
And Alice was what, 16?
Something like that.
Is that correct?
She was underage, we learned throughout
yes,
the plot.
Yes, but she was old enough that she could have swam. It wasn't like she was a child that drowned.
It wasn't negligence by the parents or anything.
Correct. So Alice goes missing from being in the water. We don't really know how or why she drowned. I don't think that was ever really depicted other than they were in the water.
It was more like we just noticed she wasn't here anymore.
Right. Yeah. So for me, I think that was a bit of a missed opportunity or connection. I understand that that's integral to the story being left open.
Yeah.
Right. Open ended as to what actually happened to her, because it never really tells you.
Because they still kind of toy with us a little bit in the sense that maybe she's even still alive.
Yeah.
Yes. And so at one point I even looked at you and thought, hey, are we talking about parallel dimensions here? Like there was some aspects that I wasn't quite sure where they went with it, but it tells you pretty quickly that no, she actually did die.
Right.
Yeah.
And so she had gone missing on what, December 21st. So right before Christmas, mm-hmm. and was found on the 24th, I believe. They went and had divers going looking for her. They found her on a shelf in the water.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the correct word for that is.
That's why I think it was like a river that ran into like a reservoir or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think so.
Because there was a flow and basically she got like stuck in some position.
It kind of looked like it was a creek.
Correct.
From where they were standing, that kind of...
with some like deeper areas that you could consider
movement.
Like a lake.
We do know that a river ran through it though.
Yes, it did.
Yes.
I'll be here all week.
Try the veil.
Wish you weren't.
Anyway, so back to that. I thought it was interesting that the father ID'd the body and mom didn't.
I can understand why, I mean, I understand the argument for why she should have for closure purposes. But I mean, if this woman truly loved her daughter, I mean, if I'm putting myself in her position, I don't know if I would have the strength to look at my dead child. I mean, I realize I would have an obligation to, but... if there was like, you know, my partner was willing to ID and you only need one ID, I don't know if I could.
Would you ever be able to have closure if you didn't?
I get that argument, but it was still fresh. It was still like it had pretty much recently happened. I mean, it must have been devastating. Yeah. So anybody can understand why, but definitely make an argument why she should have as well.
And definitely make an argument that there was something up with mom.
I'd like to hear that argument.
Go ahead. Dive in.
I don't know. I just found it weird that she was like, I just needed to be zen. Like I needed to be away from it. Like I get what you're saying. Okay. I need to be away from it a little bit, but like, wasn't just, she didn't want to do that. She wanted to disassociate from it, I guess was my problem with it.
I think that was a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
I thought the relationship between mom and daughter was interesting.
Yeah.
That and they keyed the in on that too. That it was strained.
Yeah, it definitely was. And in fact, the part where the mom had said, you know, she just hopes that her daughter knows how much she loved her. And I think that anyone who's really lost somebody always worries about that.
Yeah.
You know, anytime somebody is taken from you too soon, you don't ever have a chance to like say goodbye. You don't know that they're dying. You don't know that they're sick.
Right.
I think everybody's going to have a tinge of that where you just hope that they know how important they were.
That's why I don't think the mom could be judged too harshly for just not having the strength to see with her own eyes.
I don't know that for me, I don't know that it would be a judgment. I think it was for the movie and for the story, it was critical that she didn't ID the body. Otherwise she wouldn't be able to argue in her head that her daughter was still alive.
Oh, story related. Yeah.
So story related. It was important. Realistically for me and connectivity, it was difficult because I would have to, and it did lead to a very minor subplot that didn't go too far into the movie about basically the distrust that ended up happening between the husband and wife, that she actually thought he was wrong, which led to strain in their marriage, led to him second guessing his own assumptions that his daughter was dead.
And then exhuming the body to DNA test it.
Correct.
So this was also after, you know, alleged photographic evidence came out that, you know, appeared to be her.
So, yeah, but not her. As a ghost.
I mean, but if you were in their position and your child had drowned and you hadn't ID'd the body and you're seeing photos that look like your child, I mean,
alive and well,
wouldn't you kind of be, you know, somewhat curious, at least, or at least definitely questioning.
Curious.
Yes. So. Agreed. And I think the first thing that came up was the photo in the backyard.
Yeah.
Correct.
By the son.
Yeah. The son had taken photos every 3 months of the same backyard photo. There's a photographer and a band member and artistic. I just felt like some of the family members were not just questionable, like in a good way, but questionable in a character development writing way.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Fair enough.
So if I remember correctly, before the film, not film, before the photos were found with Alice, apparently in them
in the background,
we were talking about mom a little bit, Justin, and she started by February. So the end of December, daughter dies. By February, she's having nightmares, going for walks, and finding herself in other people's houses.
Oh, what the fuck was that?
I never understood that part because it never
circled back.
Nothing happened as a result of it.
Right. Yeah. I felt like there was a couple of loose ends that, and maybe that was intentional for the open interpretation of what was going on.
Possibly.
But I also felt like they were kind of loose end subplots that could have developed into something and just fell off.
I just don't know where they could have gone with that, though.
Well, and like, maybe that's why this movie unraveled. Too many loose ends.
Okay.
Nothing, Luke.
That was good.
Nothing.
Just a chuckle.
So, okay. Mom was finding herself in other people's houses. Then they were hearing things at their house.
Yeah, so they put up cameras.
Well, before that, before they actually put up the cameras, the father saw Alice.
Yeah, he found himself in her room sitting down, and then she walked in, her apparition walked in, and it wasn't like a loving moment, really. It was, if I remember correctly, she came in, he like made a sound. She
right. She didn't notice him at first.
Yeah, they didn't notice him, and then she came at him, and it was like kind of like he was speaking about like he was scared.
Right. If I remember correctly, she came at him screaming, "Get out! Get out! Get out of her room!"
You are correct. Give me pedo vibes.
So I thought it was interesting. There was another instance in the movie where they were talking about seeing Alice wandering into her room, and I think that was the mother with the psychic. If I'm correct,
they have a joint psychic session, like not joint when they were together, but in the movie they have them jointly,
where, like side by side.
Yeah, the mother is giving her recollection versus Alice giving hers.
And I don't know, was the mother's a recollection or was it a vision?
I couldn't tell you. It felt like hypnosis.
It did.
Yeah.
To me, like he was giving her the suggestions of doing these things and what she saw as a result.
What do you think the purpose of that was?
Couldn't tell you, to be honest with you. I couldn't tell you. It troubles me.
And that's one of the things that kind of bothered me was I would have felt better if they wrapped it up and hey, it was alternate universe and she was in another dimension and through hypnosis and through these things, through film, whatever, they were able to kind of reach to her. I feel like that would have been an opportunity.
I agree.
For the movie. Because
it was a miss.
I thought that scene especially was really interesting, the way they overlaid the mom's vision with the daughter's vision in this hypnosis state that was taken years apart or months apart or whatever it was.
I think it was years. Yeah. Because he had seen the daughter years before, I thought.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
With the psychic. And I actually thought that was really an interesting aspect of the movie, where mother and daughter separately, never having spoken to each other about it, had the exact same vision as if they were in the same room at the same time, but did not notice each other.
Yeah, I feel like that's what the movie kind of hung its hat on.
Yeah,
being the last scene, it was kind of like the strange relationship between the mother and daughter. Like they were finally kind of coming together on something. That's how it felt, but not quite. Like it just felt off.
I agree.
Nothing, like no feels came as a result of it. It was left like, okay, open your eyes now.
Loose.
They never saw each other. I didn't understand it.
So my maybe stretched interpretation of it, I think if we take it the route of, and I haven't really dove into my theory on this yet, but if we take it the route of her spirit, Alice's spirit was there lingering. right? If we take it that route, if you remember at the same time that they were showing the vision from the mother, the vision from Alice, they were also showing mom packing up the house and leaving.
Yeah.
And so,
and that's when they found the neighbor supposedly in the other room too, right?
No,
that was
a different part.
That was when they were reviewing those photos, and the mom's like, "Well, when I saw him, I saw this."
No, that was 10 minutes into your nap.
Totally different part, and we will get into that. Oh, my bad. Promise. Hold your thought on that. No, the end piece. I think I almost want to say that it was their Alice's vision of what was to come. As the spirit lingering in the house and watching her mom pack up the house and move on. Because if you remember the communication, it was, I see her. She does not see me. She's walking away. She's closing the door and leaving. Mm-hmm. And the mom was, I don't see her. She's not here. Neither. So I turned around. I left her room and shut the door.
Yeah.
But they coupled that with them packing up the house and her shutting Alice's door for the last time before leaving and moving.
Yeah.
So I almost feel like that was supposed to be representative of this, the moving on of Alice's spirit and the moving forward
with life.
With grief of her mother.
I would say that's the best bet. What your that's the only thing theory? Because theorize. I can't come up with anything either for why it was done that way. But I'd say that's probably what it is.
Okay.
But what they were trying to get across.
Okay. All right. So let's take it a step back here, Luke. Mm-hmm. What is your theory on the movie? What is the purpose? The meaning? What is this movie? What happened? What's the purpose of it? Other than we know that she drowned.
I want to say if anything, it's a story about grief. Maybe the natural fear people have of death and the fear that people have that there's nothing after death. But I want to say grief is the predominant theme that they're trying to get across. And to be honest with you, I don't know what really, like, plot wise they were trying to get across, like what the purpose of the story was other than this happened. And that's why, like, I kind of like it a little bit, because it's not a paint by numbers, you know, okay, this is how we do a mockumentary and this is how we end it. It's weird. It's off. It's it doesn't have all the elements that other ones have. It's just different to me. I guess that's the best way I could describe it, is that it's just a different kind of mockumentary that I hadn't seen anything like it before. That's not necessarily a good thing. I get it, Justin.
I didn't say anything.
You were trying to imply it in my head. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. I think that grief was a strong forefront of the movie. It was how you can cope and deal and the pain and the, you know, if you remember, it's mom is having nightmares. Dad is seeing visible ghosts. Brother is adding her into photos and videos.
With no explanation really of why he did it.
Which was weird.
Yeah. You said it like dealing with grief though. You said it was possibly his way of dealing with grief.
I think he did it because he was watching his family deal with such heart-wrenching grief of losing their child that
I want to see them happy to see her again.
Right. In the moments that they thought there was a connection to her, or that either she was alive or just, even if it was just a ghost being captured in the pictures, that they saw her and could connect to her in some way, shape, or form, that it gave them hope in their darkness.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Because the movie sure doesn't tell you.
No, it doesn't. No. It was weird.
They don't even imply anything really. It was just like, the only thing they reference is, if they asked him, like, do you think that made it harder for your family?
Right.
And he says yes. And then it's like, oh, okay, done. That's it.
Well, at first I got bad vibes because when the other people, what was it, the friends, saw the picture of him with her jacket on.
Was it the Whittles?
Yeah. The Whittles.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh God, he's gonna, what was he like in love with his sister?
I
was going to take an even weirder turn. So I was kind of glad that it didn't.
I was nervous about that too. Mm.
I never even thought of it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It takes a weird enough turn.
It does. It bothered me, I think, in what, I don't know if it was the, if it's arguable of the acting or if it's arguable of the directing or it's the writing, whichever aspect you want to take on it. It bothered me that it was like, oh, the brother's like, no, I didn't add anything to it. No, it's real footage. No, it's real stuff. And then it flips and it's the same monotone, flat character. And it's like, yeah, no, I added it. No, I don't really know why I did it.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, wait, what the hell?
That's a big deal that you need to fucking explain.
Like climax.
And I felt like it was just so brushed by.
And cheap.
It was, because they were preparing us for the other more important twist, which was, hey, while he's faking these,
there actually is
something going on.
Yeah. So I thought that was a little weak. I thought, so when I argued that I didn't like or didn't think the acting was that strong, I felt that everybody was so flat and monotone in all aspects of their feelings. So in their hope that she was alive, in their grief that she was gone, in their recognition that the brother faked this shit, and then in their talking about the psychic who had in essence betrayed the family by not telling them he knew their daughter. I felt like there was no real emotion from any of them except maybe the father.
I would attribute that to the Australian culture in general.
Okay.
To me, they just come off indifferent in general.
Okay.
So I don't know.
We're all indifferent. I'll give you that.
It kind of seems like it. So I don't know if that's like just something in my head when I hear an Australian accent. It just sounds indifferent or comes off indifferent. And I mean, that's how they seemed.
Because they did. They seem very indifferent. And maybe you're onto something there with it. It's actually a culturally appropriate.
Mm. Yeah, because they're almost like the friends in the bridge.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
100%.
Like the couple.
Well, in their defense, Alice was not painted in a good light.
I don't feel like she was, who knows when she drowned, but she's gone. I don't know when or where or what happened.
The odd thing, though, too, is that I don't feel Alice was painted in any kind of good light by anybody.
No, she wasn't.
I mean, especially once the big twist comes out about her and the neighbor.
And the wife,
too.
Yeah.
It just seems like she was painted in a poor light in addition to flat characters.
I feel that whole subplot was... I understand why it
wasn't needed.
Added for her secrets, but I thought it was just nonsense.
Well, think of it like this: what would if it didn't have that?
They could have done something else.
Well, if they didn't, though, if they didn't have that, though, then no one could really say Alice had secrets. They kind of hung their hat on the whole.
It was like so cliche.
They did, but it's like I felt like that was weak. That the biggest secret was that she was sleeping with the neighbors.
I agree.
Okay.
I mean, I like that it wasn't just like the neighbor's husband, you know, they took an extra step to try and be somewhat original to like, you know, with the couple.
Okay. Again, I think for that to be, if the argument could be made that the movie has to do with Alice's demise as her own guilt, right? They kind of allude to that.
Yeah.
Having a threesome where you're all actively engaged and yes, she's underage, but I feel like that's a weak
guilt sense.
I feel like it's a weak source for a guilt to consume a human being.
I mean,
wouldn't
you feel guilty if you were a hoe for show?
No, I feel like if the guilt was going to consume anybody, it would be the neighbors for getting involved with a child.
But that's after she's dead.
I'm not saying that they felt guilty at all.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying if guilt was to consume anybody.
True.
I mean, it was all consensual.
Mm. Yeah, it sure seemed like it.
And let's be real. Most people have lost their virginity by the time they're 16. I didn't. I'm a late bloomer. But, I mean, I think everybody else on this podcast was well beyond engaged in sexual events by 16.
Definitely not.
Okay. Hope for show.
I don't kiss and tell.
Okay. Well, anyway, prudes.
But 12 years
old. You blow and go, though, don't you?
There it is. Anyways, Kristen.
So my point is, I felt Sorry. Like the biggest, they held their hat on, you know, oh, she had secrets and she had secrets about having secrets. Well, fuck, everybody has secrets.
And she was secretive.
And she was secretive about having secrets.
Of the affirmation secrets.
Of her secrets.
So the secrecy another theme in this movie, or is it just one that was inserted to try and distract?
I think it was more annoying.
Yeah.
I feel you're onto something there. That I feel like they had the finished product and they needed another element to show that she had secrets. And that.
Well, and so I feel like that was for her secrets. That was like, okay, fine. Now, if you want to say her secrets are that she has visions or she has she's dreams banging the teacher too. Or she's sexually promiscuous.
God forbid.
With more. But it was like she had one sexual encounter. Shamed and at then, school. But then they interview the boyfriend who's like, no, she wasn't like that at all.
We wouldn't have been together.
So I just felt like that was just a weird element to drop in the middle of movie.
I totally agree. It doesn't fit.
I didn't think it fit. Thank you.
I totally agree with you though.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Call it Barry Bonds because it was straight out of left field.
Okay.
No, don't laugh. Don't snort
and do
don't
it. Do it.
Kristen, sorry. That was a one on the lame-o-meter.
All right.
Barry Bonds played left field motherfucker.
No shit, Sherlock, but that doesn't mean it's funny. Sorry. I hate you.
You're
right
just
now.
Angry right now.
This fucker's reviewing a movie he didn't even watch.
Well, that's why
I watched it.
He's not talking much. That's why I'm talking.
More than you
need to talk about what I know. So apparently that's garbage.
Okay, so let's go into the videos. Now, we talked about how mom had nightmares mm-hmm. in February. She was finding herself in other people's houses, which fell off and didn't have any plot.
Yeah, that's fucking weird.
It was weird. Father saw Alice. So we remember the only person that ever saw Alice.
Supposedly,
right? Self-proclaimed. Was saw dad. Her in person was dad, who True. ID'd her body.
Yeah.
And then you move on to the next is they go into Matthew, who is reclusive. And they go into these unusual bruises that he has.
Oh, yeah.
That shit went fucking nowhere.
Did that go anywhere?
No, it didn't. No. It was a transition. It was like
into nothing.
Into
though.
Absolutely
into
nothing.
Thin air.
It was odd.
I was feel like there was so many aspects of that.
It was like, what all can we throw in here?
To distract.
Like, yeah.
I think what really irritated me about the movie is that they could have tied this all together in some way. Mom, it could have been that Alice was haunting all of them where she was, you know, it could have come out later that Alice was leading her mom into the neighbor's house to find something or she was, you know, trying to shake her brother into seeing something. And that's why he was bruised.
Yeah.
I feel like this could have been wrapped up and they could have all had a plot purpose.
I like that. That makes a lot of sense.
You know what I mean? But they didn't. And maybe that was the open interpretation. I just feel like it was too weak. I felt like it wasn't built enough to have an interpretation about it because it just literally fell off.
I would totally agree. It's still a masterpiece though.
Okay.
No,
I know. I was just trying.
It's okay. Not. It's okay.
I know it's not, Justin.
He said that off the get-go. You got to remember, he did say it wasn't.
The get-go.
But they did mention that they did all these tests and he wasn't anemic and he, you know, there was no.
And now back to our regular programming.
All right. And now back to, so brother put pictures of his sister and acted like she was alive.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was frustrating, but it did lead, if nothing else, it did lead to the next thing where mom was convinced that she was alive.
Yeah, it did. It did lead to the transition of another plot point.
Forcibly. But then that immediately
got, the other one went nowhere.
Because then it immediately got shut down where they exhumed her body and found out from DNA testing. Yeah, it's actually Alice. Well,
and
she
it
is
did.
Really
so
dead.
When the brother had the bruises and stuff, I was like, okay. And then when it went to the girl, like, oh, and he has the jacket on, I'm like, okay, did the bruises show up days after because she was fighting for her life and brother's the one that killed her and drowned her and now he's all bruised to come up? So that's what I thought, but then it became apparent to me that, like, they were jumping in the timeline. Like, this was days later type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a waste. I don't even know why they try and detract at all, because if they would have just stuck with one plot line, I think they would have been better off.
Like, fully developed a plot line with subplots that fed into the plot
instead
line.
Of subplots. That's like the Winchester Mystery House. You know,
yes,
go up a set of stairs to open a door and it's a brick wall.
Correct. That's good. That's a good reference.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well done. Appreciate someone it. Didn't watch it.
Suck my left nut.
Wow. Wow.
Right one is too good for you.
Wow. All right. So if you remember, they exhumed her body, reburied her 2 days later.
Yep.
And then the video, it was after that, that the video of the hallway capturing Alice surfaced. Mm-hmm. Talk about that video.
Well, I mean, it looked like Alice. However, it didn't come out. It was the brother in her jacket, mm-hmm. right? That okay.
Of walking by, yeah.
But then it also served the purpose of identifying the
neighbor.
Other plot point of him crouching in her room, looking for the sex tape
and the panties. Right? Wasn't there panties with the sex tape in that box and a journal or some shit?
That's a negative, Justin.
I didn't see panties.
I thought there was, because there was a little box that she pulled the tape out of.
It was like a scarf.
Oh, was it?
I don't know what it was.
It was something.
I did not.
Let's watch it again.
Definitely not. Okay. Like Dungo is a one and done.
So I think I would argue that video surfaced because at that point, mom and dad had realized that she was not actually alive somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it was brothers. A really fucking weird attempt to try and give hope.
Yeah. So let's go back to the video a second. So it wasn't just in the first video, just the brother walking by. There was actually a reflection of her in the mirror that he put into the photo. Right?
Yeah. From the TV.
But did you notice that the first time you watched it? Because I didn't, like, I saw a change, but what I saw was actually like something eerie, like an eerie face, but it was a reflection in the toaster onto it. So I didn't actually see the face until
a toaster in the hallway.
Yeah. Because it was like in the kitchen. The reflection was coming from like a something in the kitchen, right? Yeah.
I thought he walked by
like
screen.
He walked by like a dining room or something, right? And then there was a mirror that was showing something else. And then there was also right next to it. I just remember seeing a separate reflection and not seeing the sister in it until he was like breaking it down.
Yeah.
And they watched it slow, super slow.
Yeah. So he talked about cropping the picture to fit
into the frame. Yeah.
And whatnot.
That was the first time I saw it because previously I just thought it was like a figure and then I saw like a creepy shadow. That was it.
Well, it was admittedly very grainy.
Yeah. Yes.
Dark black and white.
Yes.
And all of it looks so fake. All of his additions. You knew they were fake.
Well, see, and for me, I know you mentioned that when you and I were talking about this, that you knew immediately that the photos were fake. I couldn't tell if it was because of the budget of the movie. That it was like a low budget. You know, they didn't do a great job of depicting it, or if it was the brother did a shit job. I wasn't sure if it was intentional or not.
It was a passion project. He was a photographer.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it was something he was toying around with. Didn't realize it would be found out about. Who knows?
But as a first time viewer, I wasn't sure if the graininess and the lame, quote unquote, depictions of the sister in the videos were because this movie itself did a lame job or because they were trying to show that the brother did a lame job. I think is what I was trying to say.
Yeah, I get you.
Well, if they went for it being lame, they definitely nailed it. That's all we got to say.
All right. So I think that would be the reason why the brother put on the jacket and tried to, you know, reinstill hope, which is weird.
That's all.
It's fucking weird. Let her go.
Where's Anna?
Oh God.
Who?
Anna and Elsa, Frozen.
Never seen it.
Let it go.
I've heard that song, but I've never seen it.
Yeah. Let me sing it one more time. Maybe you'll feel like
you're not missing anything.
No,
not at all.
I really not.
It's Kristen Bell. Yeah.
Okay. So.
Just like her.
K Bizzle
for the shizzle.
Like Mungo. All right. So.
Like that.
Okay. Let's take it a step back. And so instead of just talking about the brother and the mother, who I think were both incredibly strange.
Yes.
Right.
Agreed.
I'd ask Luke what he thought his theory on the movie was about, you know, grief and grieving and coping.
Well, I mean, now that I've had a minute to think since I said that, I also think it's about like don't dig into like a loved one's past. If they die, it just like, I guess the tagline could have been, you know, the secrets line.
Okay.
So, maybe it's about everybody has things that they keep to themselves. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Okay.
So
kind of like the subplots in the movie.
Yeah.
They don't know where they're going either.
Do you see what he did there? But if I were to say, I would say grief or perhaps
I think that's a good analogy, right?
Hey, Justin, could you do me a favor? Let me think.
I'm trying. Trying to stall for time for you.
I could tell, and all you're making it happen is me stall.
Okay, well, I'm going to jump in.
Thank you. I was hoping 10 seconds ago you'd do that.
I was just waiting to see where that was going. Okay, so I think my theory on it is, yes, there's grief. Yes, there's secrets. Yes, there are pain points. But I think the bigger picture and the more important to me, right, viewer perspective, since they don't really wrap it up and put it in a box for you, but as a first-time viewer. But
then again, they didn't in Blair Witch either.
Blair Witch was a totally different caliber of movie. Yeah.
Blair Witch was good.
Okay, so for me, I think the bigger purpose, theme, theory on this is really the argument of what happens after death. And yeah. I think my personal opinion that, yes, there is something after, right?
I would agree.
This is personal.
Plane of existence.
Yeah. And I do think that there is something to be said for whether you want to call it spirits or ghosts or specter or essence or whatever you want to call it. There is an argument that, you know, is out there about whether it is a purgatory or it is a plane of existence mm-hmm. where things need to be wrapped up before you can move on to your final destination or reincarnation or whatever the belief is, right? We don't know. Mm-hmm. When I talk about the talking points of this movie, this is something that Luke and I kind of got into a little bit after the movie. I think for me, it was really that, yes, she had secrets. She was trying this Alice girl, regardless of what we think of her secrets that were depicted, right? I don't think they were enough to consume a person or a soul, but it.
They were tame.
Compared to some
people.
But I think that the family felt her presence mm-hmm. because she was still trying to protect her secrets. And the more the family dug, the more involved she got. Right.
Yeah. More guilty she felt. Maybe.
And if you go with that argument, then the fact that the only person who truly saw her and not on film capture was her father. Do you think she wanted her dad to know she was sleeping with the neighbors?
Definitely not.
No.
So the fact that he was in her room and she was screaming, get out, get out, get out. I mean, I'm sure she didn't want her boyfriend to know. She didn't want her dad to know, you know, probably didn't want her mom or brother to know either. But I would think that of all people, she probably was most aggressively defending it against her father.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that would be something my argument to do with, he was asked like, what would you say to Craig Toohey?
Right.
I think it was a neighbor. He said, I'd throttle him, maybe trying to protect him from himself.
Maybe.
When it came to that,
knowing
the retaliation that would happen.
But if you're to argue that her existence in the house was unsolved or unresolved business, once her secrets were out and discovered, you know, she had been seeing a psychic that she didn't tell anybody about. She had things in her diary and dreams and nightmares. And she had made a comment that she always knew something bad was going to happen to her in a prior filming. And then all of a sudden the family's uncovering her sexual relations, her dreams, her psychic mm-hmm. things. She didn't really have anything to hide anymore.
Nope.
And to me, it was interesting that once they went out to Lake Mungo and found her phone and her things, when they came back to the house, her presence was gone.
Right. They do make a point of saying that the house felt calm.
Yes.
Closure. They did.
And I almost feel like it was double-ended, right? Like Justin just said, the family got the closure they felt they needed of knowing her. And what maybe happened to her, even though they really never find out what happened mm-hmm. to her.
And we have precious few clues.
And she no longer had anything to either hide or protect them from. And so she was able to move on. They were able to move forward with their life. So that would be my interpretation
Makes sense.
Of the movie.
Makes more sense than the plot.
Makes more sense than the movie.
I could have swore I just said that.
Thank you both for agreeing with me and each other.
We didn't agree with each other.
Definitely not.
I do think it was a possible missed opportunity of an alternate dimension through the phone, through technology. You know, they kind of do a poltergeist-ish thing they allude to with the phone.
With her recording on the phone?
With her video. Recording of her seeing her own ghost, foreshadowing her. I felt like they put so much emphasis on this girl's phone.
Yeah.
And I feel like, yeah, it leads to the fact that they found her phone. Sure. But the fact that they had the technology with the video cameras, the photographs, the phone, they could have wrapped that up and full circled her burying her phone, the technology that she's tied to at the lake, and then drowning could have been a full circle of where she is and where she ended up. I feel like they could have done something with that.
They should have.
And they should have.
Yeah.
We would have reviewed it better as full circle reviews.
But so I thought that was another kind of missed opportunity for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Luke, do you have thoughts on this movie that it's your pick? And I'm like just stomping all over everybody.
I'll just say that before I chose this movie to watch with you guys, and before I watched it with you, my rating was much different. But after
I ruined another one Luke.
I would say that there's something to be said about how analytical you are about this and how you tend to make sense of things that don't necessarily make sense to even an intelligent person. It makes you think differently about things. It makes you see things for what they really are. So I think very differently about this movie now, and do not apologize for that. It's a testament to just like how good you are. It's a testament to how good you are looking into these things.
If there's anybody who needs to apologize, it's Luke.
I just said something really nice.
That was really uncalled for. You just shit on my compliment.
No, the compliment was well deserved.
Thank you, Luke.
He didn't even give me a second to absorb that and respond. Before you've responded.
I just didn't want you to feel like you had to apologize because he's the only one who needs to apologize.
Okay, okay. I swore I said that too.
Point taken. All right. Thank you, Luke.
You're welcome. It doesn't feel like anything happened now.
Justin,
you're going to die. Sorry.
Anything you have to talk about of the parts that you were awake for?
Here we go.
No.
Did you want to touch on that neighbor crouching and that film? No. You don't. You're just done. Through that. Just fuck it all.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm done talking about this movie.
Okay. All right. Well, I mentioned talking points, right? And conversations. And so Luke and I got into a conversation as you both, Justin and Luke, know. I lost a person who was near and dear to me for very many years. And some of this movie hit, even though I didn't like the movie itself, the movie hit a little hard for me in some spots, because when you lose somebody unexpectedly and you do strive to find out answers about them or what happened to them. And it's, for me, that was very natural that's the path that I went. And it is hard because in that quest for that closure and that understanding, you do tend to dig things up
that you can't get answered.
Buried. That should have remained buried.
So you can maintain your positive image of the person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I can see that.
And it's a little hard because it's unfortunate because that person isn't around to argue it
or explain it or
defend it.
Uh-uh.
You know, and there's something to be said for somebody's secrets should be able to be their secrets even after they're gone.
And no one can really, I don't think anybody on this earth can get on their soapbox and judge somebody when they have secrets they probably wouldn't want other people to know.
I mean, I think we all do. Yeah. I think we all have had secrets or moments in our life that we would like to go to the grave.
Sure.
In essence.
Sure.
So I think there's also something to be said for why you might feel spirits or ghosts if you do. Right, Justin? Supernaturally inclined. Of some people and not of others.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, all right. On that note, kids, let's talk about budget and box office.
Well, this is going to be a one guess thing because I happened to accidentally come across the budget and box office already.
Oh. Accidentally, huh?
Well, at least he was honest about it.
Yeah, fuck off, dude. I was honest. I could have just guessed it right on.
He could have just guessed it right on.
He's an angry elf.
Justin, what do you think the budget was?
$12.
Justin, what do you think the budget was?
$12,000.
Okay. Box office.
I can't even believe it made it to a theater.
Granted, box this office. Was Australian. Australia. And this was the Sydney Film Festival, and it was an Australian Film Commission.
So Australian dollars.
And this is in in Australian.
Yeah. I'm going to say.
Currency.
$1 million.
Well, you're way off.
Hey, you're a little off on this one. So keep just me honest, wait. Luke.
You'll be happy.
$1.7 million was the budget. Yep. $29,850.
Oh, so I had to reverse my numbers.
So it bombed like Pearl Harbor.
Tanked. Bad.
God. That's like the Battle of Britain. And Pearl Harbor.
Okay.
Combined.
So, Sleepy Jim over there, would you like to give your rating? Okay.
What?
Would you like to give your rating?
The movie you watched.
I'm just going to give it a 0.
Okay.
I can't even give it an F. It's a 0 for me. So, Justin gives it
an F.
I give it a D minus.
Okay.
That's nice of you.
No, there was aspects of it. There was talking points that came out of it. It had hope. There were moments that it had...
The story had hope. I'll give you that.
And I talked about the scene that it, you know, I thought it was well done the way they did the two psychic scenes with the mom moving. And it was almost the bridge of what had happened and they're moving on from their planes of existence. Right. Mm-hmm. I thought that was well done. But I gave it a D minus.
Okay.
Luke.
Because everything else wasn't done well.
Yeah, I already picked apart the movie.
Like I said before, watching this with you and before doing this podcast where we are inclined to pay more attention and pick into things, I would have given this a C+. Mm-hmm. The more we talked about it, the more things that came to light that didn't really add up or could have been done differently or just didn't make sense.
More critiquing, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you on the D-.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel kind of like deceived by the list that I read that kind of intrigued me about this movie. Like, did we even get in the ratings? Like, because I saw yet. That
that's
as well.
Next. That's next.
So I'm not even going to guess at that.
That's fine.
I just remember being in surprised.
Yeah. So Justin, I'm very surprised by the ratings.
Your guess for ratings.
For IMDb.
And Rotten Tomatoes.
IMDb. 3.4. Rotten Tomatoes, 16.
Okay, I'm going to guess 96% for Rotten Tomatoes, or 94, one of the two.
Okay.
And IMDb, like 5.3?
6.3 IMDb.
Yeah, 1.3. Into that.
Rotten Tomatoes, critics, 96%.
Are you fucking serious?
Can you believe
serious?
That shit?
No.
Can you fucking believe that?
No, it's audience, like the Night House all over again.
Hold on. Audience, 63% Rotten Tomatoes.
So in other words.
Audience was closer with Luke and I with the D-.
Yeah. So in other words, must see.
Right.
If you're
Google,
going by critics.
80%. And I know we've talked about how it's a, you know, it thumbs up or thumbs down. But 80% of people thumbs it up.
Well, I don't think anybody outside of Australia has ever heard of this movie besides Luke, so.
There might be one or two people.
A few. So, all right.
But I'll be honest, this movie has kind of soured me on the genre.
It was a long hour and 29 minutes.
Well, God bless you for staying awake.
I do this for you.
Felt like three naps.
I appreciate it.
You had three naps.
Just two, but it felt like three.
All right, guys. Full Circle Reviews. Lake Mungo, 2008. Don't recommend.
A very low D-.
All you need to know is Lake Dungo smells like shit.
Wow. Way to take that to another level.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Full Circle Reviews.
Thanks
signing off.
Bye.